Mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Layla and Majnun is a love story that's been told and retold in thousands of variations by poets, minstrels, dancers, and musicians throughout the Middle East and Central Asia for centuries. The tragedy of obsessive forbidden love was turned into the first Middle Eastern opera in 1908. It later inspired the classic rock song Layla, and more recently set afire in cellist Yo-Yo Ma. It was Ma's Silk Road Ensemble that adapted the epic into a one-hour version, and which worked with renowned choreographer Mark Morris to create a multimedia production that's on its way to the Hopkins Center for the Arts at Dartmouth this Friday and Saturday. My guest Colin Jacobson is a violinist, composer, and touring member of the Silk Road Ensemble. He arranged the music for Layla and Majnun with Alim Kasimov and Johnny Gandelsman. Gandelsman and Jacobson are also members of the Brooklyn Rider String Quartet. And Colin, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you. Great to be here.
What can you tell us about the origins and the evolution of the Layla and Majnun, if I'm saying that properly, story?
Yeah, I believe so. Well, I should just say that one thing that over the years we've heard Yo-Yo say is that music is often the tip of the iceberg, of a cultural iceberg that's quite large. And so what you hear in the concert hall is, you know, the result of all that went into it. And I think this particular story and opera has so much behind it. And as you said, yeah, the story of Layla and Majnun goes back over 1,000 years, arising originally as an Arabic story. And something that was orally passed on. But then it became the story that great poets and, as you said, minstrels riffed on for centuries. And, you know, the story is the kind of archetypal lovers who cannot be together because of fate, because of warring families or tribes. And so in many ways, is the predecessor of the Western Romeo and Juliet. I think the unique thing that we learned about the story while working on it is that their separation, in a way, is both viewed as incredible tragedy and something that, but it's meant to purify their love, and they cannot be together. But in the afterlife, they are reunited, and in a way, that is the whole point. And so it's not viewed as sad necessarily. It's more transcendent love.
And Layla and Majnun have inspired people outside of the Middle East as well, including Eric Clapton. What's the story there?
His song Layla, I think, was also related to this story. And I should mention that Alim Kasimov, he shared a love of a Sufi singer, Pakistani Sufi singer, Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan, with the great American rock singer Jeff Buckley. And in fact, the two of them met, and you can hear them singing together on a track somewhere along the way.
But we heard a little clip of a performance of a segment called The Parents' Disapproval that I think the Silk Road Ensemble did at a 2007 residency at Harvard. Let's hear just a little more. This is the vocalist Alim Kasimov. Alim Kasimov there in a performance from Layla and Majnun. That was with the Silk Road Ensemble. I'm speaking to Colin Jacobson, who's one of the members. And I know, Colin, you worked this down with your colleagues from a 3.5-hour opera, huge cast, to a 1-hour production piece and two voices. Now, you know, you're accustomed to working with Western. You've played, sort of traditional Western classical and with non-Western musicians. but these are completely different musical languages there. You know, this is not an Italianate opera. So how do you approach that?
Well, it's interesting. So Haji Bayli, or Haji Bayov in the Russian pronunciation, was a young composer in 1908. And in Azerbaijan, in Baku, he was growing up going to both Western opera, but surrounded by Mugam, the classical music of Azerbaijan. And he was the first to bring those worlds together. So in a sense, the opera that you mentioned, which is 3.5 hours long and of sort of Aida scale in terms of forces and production, he wrote down Western style arias and and choruses for big orchestra and chorus. And then a lot of the story of the main characters, Leyla and Majnun, is advanced by Mugam. And in those sections, all he did was suggest what key or, which Mugam, meaning the modal system of traditional Azerbaijani music. So he just said what scale to play in and the text. And then it was up to the singers to improvise along with sort of the Azerbaijani continuo team of Kamanche and Tar, which is a spiked fiddle and a lute-like instrument. So Johnny Gandelsman, my friend and violinist in Silk Road and Brooklyn Rider, and myself's task was to make it work for our ensemble, the instruments in Silk Road, and to condense the story so that it was something that would fit in a tourable version. Our goal was to try to make it feel more like one piece, because in the original, you really hear, this is the Western number, and now this is the Mugam section. And we wanted to bring those worlds closer together, as that's very much the mission of Silk Road. Johnny was mainly went back and forth with Alim, what are the essential numbers that we need here to tell the story and have some sort of dramatic arc? And then my job mainly was to provide some original connective tissue or working with the music that's in Leyla Majnun and what I know of Mugam and Persian music to create underpinnings to some of the Mugam sections and transitions in between some of those and the Western sections.
I'm speaking with Colin Jacobson. He's one of the members of Yo-Yo Ma's Silk Road Ensemble. He's going to be among those performing Leyla and Majnun at the Hop this Friday and Saturday. Well, Colin, let's get a sense of your own compositions. You worked on arrangements for this opera, this production. Mm-hmm. Your band, you have two bands, The Knights and the Brooklyn Rider String Quartet. I'm going
to
play
both of which have been to the Hop, so it's great to come back.
Well, this is a piece from one of the Brooklyn Rider String Quartet's albums. The album is called A Walking Fire, but this is one of three miniatures, and it's called Majnun's Moonshine. But first, could you set this up for us? What are these three miniatures?
Well, I by playing in the Silk Road Ensemble, I've been very influenced by working with both Alim Kasimov and a great Persian musician named Kehan Kalhor, who plays the Persian Kamanche, or spiked fiddle, which there is an Azerbaijani version in Leyla and Majnun. But I've just, fallen in love with the miniature painting, the calligraphy, the poetry, the music, and their close links, and they just have sparked a number of ways of internalizing that and then writing new music. So Majnun's Moonshine sort of refers to the madness that Majnun experiences in his love for Leyla and the unfulfilled desire. And in my mind, somehow relates to the Piero Lunaire story that we have in the West.
Well, let's hear just a clip of this, Majnun's Moonshine. Thank you. Majnun's Moonshine. That's a composition by my guest Colin Jacobson. What was the relationship between the work that you were doing on the Leila and Majnun opera and this song?
Well, I will say that actually there was a little cadence figure that I worked with for a while and turned that into a whole piece that we played in Brooklyn Rider, and then it actually found its way back into the opera as underpinning to enhance drama of a particular section. But I think in terms of the piece we just heard, I think I was just responding to that sense of madness and getting lost and allowing yourself to be lost in love for another human being, for something divine, for, the various reasons that one falls in love.
Well, you can hear the kind of mania there, you know, the madness ramping up. And this composition is among those that Brooklyn Rider, your band, performed at the reopening of the Metz, that's the Metropolitan Museum of Art's Islamic Art Galleries. Now, this is something that you did also in collaboration with an Iranian musician. So is this part of what you've always done, you know, working with people across cultures and creating music influenced by them?
It's something that I've done basically since the summer of 2000 when the Silk Road Ensemble was gathered together by Yo-Yo at Tanglewood and started to develop from there. And when I joined the group then, I was just out of school, but I was already trying to figure out the place of, for me, Western classical music and violin and writing music in my life and in the world. And the opportunity to work with people like Alim and Kehan both shed light on the tradition I was from and asked me to go beyond it in a way that I found very inspiring and continue to learn from to this day.
Well, Strings Magazine has called has called your chamber music ensemble the future of classical music. Where are you going?
Very kind.
That's a pretty big thing to live up to.
Yeah, you know, you can't read anything otherwise. you couldn't like the centipede put one foot in front of another. But I would say that Brooklyn Rider's mission very much is to bring this incredible 300-year tradition of string quartet music into our world in the ways that we are excited about, whether that's working with a collaborator like Kehan Kalhor or in America from people like Bela Fleck or Joshua Redman coming up. But then it also means digging deep into the tradition and trying to find our own way with music by Beethoven, et cetera.
Well, let's talk about that tradition, because you're playing music from Islamic cultures, Middle Eastern cultures, Persian cultures. Of course, we know the role of art in music, we're told, can always build bridges. But if somebody is unused to this culture, and even in our current climate, put off by it, frightened by Islamic culture, how do you get them to even step foot on that bridge?
Well, I think this opera, Leila and Majnun, is a unique experience because I feel like it was conceived by the composer as that bridge from the get-go in 1908. As I said, all of these Western-style arias and choruses that are really feel like great hit tunes by that could have been, written by Rimsky-Korsakov, and in that sense, it's funny because it's someone representing their culture in what we might think of as an exoticized version of that culture, and yet then also presenting Mugam, the classical music of Azerbaijan, by one of the great exponents of that form, Alim Kasimov, and his daughter, Fergana. And I think the human element of this story is so immediate and comes right through. However, I will say that from the beginning, we thought that we can do this as a concert piece, which we did. But when we first workshopped it, we asked Mark Morris to come to look at it and see if he could imagine staging it in some version. And at the time, he was intrigued, I think, but it was not the right time. It didn't capture his attention at that moment. 5 years later or so, I can't remember the exact timing, he came back to us and we had long stopped doing that piece and said, I would like to stage this. And of course, we were thrilled because I think Mark Morris Dance Group, Silk Road Ensemble, they're both idealized versions of community, of overcoming individual differences, cultural differences in the service of something larger than ourselves, in this case, it's Leila and Majnun. And Mark always hammers that home in rehearsal. I mean, he really is, you know, it's not about Alim, it's not about you, it's about the story, and it's about the idealized love that we are going for. But I think he's able to make abstract things very human in his dancers, who also know the music so well and are able to respond to it in the moment beautifully.
Colin Jacobson, thank you for speaking with us.
Thanks so much.
Colin Jacobson, he's a violinist, composer, and bandleader, and touring member of the Silk Road Ensemble. He is among those who will be performing Leila and Majnun with the renowned choreographer Mark Morris Dancers on a multimedia production at the Hop this Friday and Saturday. More information at our website, wordofmouthradio.org.